All right, tonight is the first of a series. I call it the whens, not the ifs, not the maybes, but it's called the whens. Jesus had a very famous Sermon on the Mount, they call it. And he talked about a lot of things. But there was a special section in which he actually was talking about some actions or activities that are religious in nature that can be done in a good way, or you could be considered a hypocrite. And boy, that gave me pause. When you think about something, and it's the same action, by the way. And so for tonight's message, it's when you give. And just so that you know, all three messages, one's when you give, when you pray, third one's when you fast. And when we do the when you fast, I hope Chastity has an opportunity to be here because she asked me a specific question about fasting. But anyway, tonight's message is about when you give. And we're going to be talking, at least starting out, of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. So, let's jump right in. I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible has a heading on it. It said, Teachings on Giving. All right, Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, Take heed that ye do not your alms. Does anybody know what alms are? Okay, I mean, this is something that this is where you give to help someone. Okay, you give to help someone. Alms is meant for that. But it says, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward. Now, of your Father which is in heaven. Now, I want to pause here for a second because if you're not careful, you'll gloss over three major things here. One is the act of giving, okay? The act of giving to help someone by giving alms. In this case, it would be to the poor. And back then, there was lots of poor. But also, there's motivations behind doing your religious activity, okay? So if the motivation behind your giving is to be seen of men, guess what? You won't get any reward of your Father. And that's the other thing. The third thing is that there is a reward. And we don't want to overlook this because it's important, I believe. If done correctly, you'll see that the reward, and I wish I could tell you what the reward was, but I don't know, doesn't say, but there is. Verse 2 says it this way, Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet, and I can't picture this in my mind, somebody blowing a horn to say, look at me, I'm giving a lot of money to the poor. So do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. Notice that, as the hypocrites do. Now, I'm not sure if he's being literal about sounding a trumpet, but he's probably being very descriptive of what happens when somebody who has a lot of money and they decide to give money to the poor, they want everybody to know it. So somehow they make themselves noticeable. And he refers to them as hypocrites. So don't sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Look who they're trying to impress. They're trying to impress the population, not God. So he says, Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. That's what they wanted, right? They wanted to be noticed, and they got noticed. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, well, guess what? you've got your reward. Ah, but verse 3. It says here, but when thou doest alms, so when you, a follower of Jesus, he says, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth. Now, pause for a moment. When you read the scripture, take it literal until you can't. What do I mean by that? Can I take verse 3 literal? Is it possible for my left hand and my right hand to not know what each one's doing? No. I think Jesus is trying to make a point that he is trying to say this is how important it is not to draw attention to yourself. Your hands would have to have minds of their own before one would know what not the other one's doing. So he's saying, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. In other words, let your motivation be done in secret. I used to refer to this as being a secret agent for God because a lot of these have to do with doing things in secret. So verse 4, he says, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, this is what I was talking about, that there is a reward at the end. I don't know when, and I don't know what kind, but I know that when you give to the poor, remember when he told the rich man, sell what you got, give to the poor, and you shall have what in heaven? Treasure. You shall have treasure in heaven. And then he gave him another offer, and come and follow me. And I believe Jesus was sincere in that, but the rich man went away sorrowful because he had many riches. But the thing that this tells me is that the Father is looking. He's watching your every move. Now, for some, that may scare you, but it's actually a good thing. God notices what you're doing, and he especially notices if you're doing things on his behalf. You see what I'm saying? When you give alms, you're giving it to help one of his children. And then here he's saying, don't draw attention to yourself. Go ahead and give and do it in secret. And the Lord who sees you in secret, and he's going to reward you openly. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. I wish they did, but it doesn't tell us. So sometimes giving, if you want to think about it, is a means of worship. Okay? It's a means of worship. We know that the Father is watching what we're doing. He knows about our giving. He knows he's also judging our motives. Hopefully you're not doing it as the hypocrites do. How do they do it? They draw attention to themselves. And the Lord says when you do that, you've got your reward already. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves and therefore do it under the wrong motive. So when you give to whatever cause, when you give, do it in secret. Now, sometimes it's hard, but has anybody here used the GoFundMe? Ever given on, okay, Rhonda? All of us computer age generation, we use the GoFundMe. Anyway, people will give sometimes quite a bit of money, $100, $200, and more. And they put their name on it. Not me. I always put, you have a choice, you can put anonymous. Now, the GoFundMe page has your email address, but that's all they know about you. So they send you an email to let you know that your payment went through. But I sat there and I went through the offerings that people were going, I don't know what particular GoFundMe this was, but I was looking at the different ones that gave, and I noticed a pattern. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong. It's just that when I look at this scripture, and then I looked at the GoFundMe page, I noticed that quite a few of the people who gave large amounts put their name on it. And there were a few with anonymous. In other words, they didn't want their name to be known. And so, in a sense, they did it in secret. So that's how I prefer. If I ever go on the GoFundMe, I do it in secret by putting anonymous. Because I believe that's what the Lord's teaching right here. And so we don't want to be like the hypocrites, and we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. But sometimes giving is not just only helping the poor, but it's can be sacrificial. What do I mean by that? Well, this story is also told in Luke 21, but we're going to read from Mark 12, 41. And here we go. Notice here at verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. And I don't know if you realize, but they actually had, we would call it the poor box. They had a box that they would collect money. And some of these boxes, I don't know if all of them did, but some of these boxes would have a funnel. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say a funnel? And so when you threw your money in or put your money in, guess what? If you put a lot in, it would make a lot of noise going down. That's how you would draw attention to yourself. So when you put money in the poor box, a lot of these Pharisees would take, I'll put it in today's language. So let's say I took a $10 bill and I went to the bank and I changed it all for nickels. Or I don't know, what's in a roll of nickels? Does anybody know? Two? All right, that's probably a bad example. What about quarters? $10. Okay, so let's say I changed my $10 bill for a roll of quarters. Well, guess what? Putting in a 10 would be pretty quiet, wouldn't it? But putting in a whole roll of quarters would make a lot of noise and would draw attention to myself if I was using one of these boxes that had a funnel on it, and they were usually made out of metal. But notice that Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching. So he sat over against the treasury and beheld, in other words, he was looking at how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Well, of course, they had more to give. But notice this, verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow. And Jack, this is where I was using your measurements table this morning, this afternoon. It said, and she threw in two mites. Now, I had to look it up to see what a mite was. Well, just like we have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and some, well, back in the Roman times, they had very similar thing. And I think there's another name for it, leptas. But the fact is, she threw in two mites. And according to the sheet that I had gotten from Jack over there, a mite could be worth 25 cents. Now, so she throws in two of them, so that could be 50 cents. That's all she had in our time, 50 cents to her name. And as I was reading that verse, it reminded me, and I was talking to Deronda before the service, we were newly married. Had our first child and lived on Curve Road. Very little money. Living week to week, hand to mouth, that kind of deal. But I remember, and I don't even know whose, it might have been mine most likely, whose bright idea it was, but we were looking through the couch and scrounging everywhere you could find loose change, okay? And we'd find enough to where we could go to Hardee's, which was just out a little ways, and we'd get I don't know what they go for today, but they used to sell the big cookie. Does anybody remember the big chocolate chip cookie? We'd go out there and we'd buy one or two of them or however many, and we'd come home. Of course, we'd snack on them. Well, we liked it enough, so we scrounged for more money, and we just kept doing that. We were kind of debating earlier today. We either made 3 to 5 trips out there to get a big cookie. We liked it that much. But the whole point of that, telling you that story, is that we were looking for the last little bit of money and change that we had to our name, just like this poor widow. This was all she had, and we were using that to buy snacks. So there we go. I mean, we were going for the big cookie. And so here this poor woman comes in, and she throws in what might equate to 50 cents, which he gives us another type of measurement here, which will make a farthing. So she throws in that. Keep in mind, Jesus has his eye on what they're all doing. Okay, verse 43. So let's look at that. And then Jesus, when he saw that, it impressed him so much, he called his disciples over, and he basically, hey, fellas, look at this. And he called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, how can that be? She only threw in what would be in today's time 50 cents. Everybody else was throwing in all kinds of money because they were rich. Well, he explains. Verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance. In other words, this is the money they had left over. Okay, some of us go through life, we seem to have more week or more month left over after the paycheck is gone. But this is what they did. They cast of their abundance, but she of her want, in other words, her lack, did she cast in all that she had, and look at this, even all her living. She should have been one of those who received money from the poor box. But here she is casting in her two mites with Jesus noticing. And by the way, did you catch it? He noticed that it was all her living. See, Jesus knows things about us that we don't realize he knows. And so he's saying she cast in everything, 100%. Everybody else cast in a percentage of what they had out of their abundance. But she cast in 100%. Everything she had, she put it in the treasury. So that's what's called sacrificial giving. I have a notion, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I have a notion that if Jesus noticed her, that he made sure that her needs were met. I have a hard time believing that Jesus would call attention to his disciples about this poor widow and then do nothing about it. I can't see it. The last thing I want to talk to you about is that your giving must be purposeful, okay? So not only do you do it in secret, we've already studied that. You do it in secret so that you will get a reward. Your Father will notice you doing it in secret. Sometimes you do it sacrificially. There's been at least one or two times that I've given someone money and it was coming out of our own grocery money. I don't know if you've ever done that, but that kind of makes you kind of cringe a little bit when you're trying to help somebody else when you yourself need help. And that is sacrificial giving. But guess what? God came through in all situations. He came through. And he helped us get through those hard times. And so I think it's a lesson in learning to depend upon him daily. I think that's why it's included in the prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer. But where he says, give us this day what? Our daily bread. Not tomorrow's bread, not next week's bread, but today's bread. And you could substitute bread for almost anything. Faith, strength, help, anything. Give us this day whatever we need daily. God will provide. And so I hope you will learn that lesson. The last thing I want to talk to you about is that it must be purposeful. Secret, sacrificial, purposeful. Let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. We have a similar thing about collection for the saints, but I thought that would stretch out the sermon too long. So I just want to go through 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6. So he says, and this is Paul speaking, and he's using a farming metaphor, okay? For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now see, a farmer, at least back in this day, when they had to sow the grain or the seed that they had to make a decision. Do I hold it back, some of it back, or a lot of it back to feed my family? Or do I go ahead and sow it and plant it? And you always reap more than you plant. And so that's what he's talking about here. If you hold it back, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, little. But yet, if you have the mindset, you trust God, you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Verse 7. And it says here, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. So you have to think, how are you going to do this? How much are you going to do this? And in what way are you going to do this? Obviously, we go back and look at Scripture. We don't want to do it drawing attention to ourselves. And maybe you're doing it sacrificially. But in this case, you're purposing in your heart on how you plan to give. Okay? And so every man needs to do this in his own heart. Don't let somebody talk you into it. Because he said, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now what he's talking about here is don't do it simply because somebody's guilt tripping you into giving money for some reason. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. If somebody walks up to you and they're asking for, I don't know, United Way. That's the only one I can think of right away. But people have come to the door asking for money to go to the United Way. I, first of all, am very dubious when anybody walks up to my door and asks for money. If I want to give to the United Way, I can give it to them either online or through other ways. But when somebody comes to my door asking for money, that's another thing altogether. It's not that I don't trust them always, but you can be taken for a lot of money if you're not careful. You need to be wise. But that should not stop you from giving. And don't let them guilt you into doing this. For he says, not grudgingly or of necessity. Because why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. If you're not happy to give, then don't give. If it doesn't make your heart sore, or at least with praise, worshiping the Lord in giving, then don't do it. Don't do it. The thing was, back when Ananias and Sapphira sold that land, first of all, it was their land to do with whatever they wanted to do. And then when he came to the apostles to give the money, they held some of it back. But they didn't make it look like they held it back. They basically was telling the apostles and the people, hey, look what we did. We sold all this land and we're giving all the money to the apostles. Well, Peter, through the Holy Ghost, knew exactly what was going on. He knew that they had lied. And he said, you didn't just lie to me, you lied to God. And Ananias died right away. And I can't imagine living in a day and time like this, but they took him out and they buried him. Guess what? The wife didn't know. Wife didn't know. So then she comes in. And so Peter inquires of her, did you sell this land? Yes. Did you sell it for so much? Yes. And probably, did you give it all to the church? And she said, yes. And then he said, well, the feet of them which buried your husband have returned, and they're going to bury you. And she died right on the spot. And it brought fear upon the church. The church was just getting started, and already there was corruption entering into the church. And so God is talking about giving, but being a cheerful giver. Don't be guilted into it. Don't be somehow coerced into doing it. But do it because in your heart you know it's the right thing to do. Now verse 8 is a little more complicated, but we'll go over it. Verse 8 is a promise. Because he said, and I'll try my best to explain this. He said, for God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What does that mean? All the resources that God has. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the Old Testament says. Everything in the earth belongs to the Lord. So God has all of the resources in heaven and in earth. And so he is able to make all grace, and in this case, resources, it doesn't mean grace for sin, it's resources, abound toward you. Abound means overflow. Okay? So then he says, why? That ye always have an all sufficiency, in other words, having enough for yourself in all things, and that you may abound to every good work. Now let me break this down for you. If you want to be someone who is a giver, the Lord is able not only to make these resources available to you so that you can give, but it's also for you to be sufficient. Okay? And it's also to abound to every good work. It's so that you could give even more. I hope that makes sense, because it's hard to see unless you break all this down. Because notice the alls in this thing. All grace, all ways, all sufficiency, all things, every good work, or all your good works, okay? Every. So the thing is, the Lord is able to do this. So if you want a purpose in your heart to give, and you sincerely want to give cheerfully in the name of the Lord for whatever cause, then do so, knowing that there's a promise here. There's a promise. So naturally, questions come up. First of all, how do I start giving? I can only tell you through my own experience. I hate telling on myself, but years ago, thank God it's years ago, we were in debt so high, we had to go to Roanoke to visit a consumer credit counseling service. And I went in there all depressed, because for months I've been telling Deronda we had no money. We had no money. Deronda, I'm telling on you here. You got to be careful what you do and say in the household, because it'll be used in a sermon illustration. But anyway, the fact is, I've been telling her for months we had no money. And our bills and everything else was piling up. You know how it works. The calls start coming in and people wanting their money, And the oddest thing happens. If you're late on a payment, guess what? You're not only you get charged for a late payment fee, but you also get a higher interest rate. Never have figured that one out. Makes it even harder for you to pay your payments. And so we got there, and the woman was trying her best to talk us into going into bankruptcy. And I said, no. She looked at me. She said, Mr. Riggs, I don't know how you're going to do it. I said, we'll find some way. I said, but if you help us, basically what they do, I don't know if you know this, but they combine all your bills. So it stops the collection calls and it combines all your bills. You get a lower interest rate and you just have to pay them and they distribute the money until the debt's paid off. And when I came out, I was like a load lifted off of me, and Duran and I both got in the car, and I was like, whew, you know, like this. I was so, a burden had just lifted. I looked over at Duran, and she had the saddest face. My goodness, she had a sad face. I said, what's wrong with you? I didn't know we didn't have any money. I said, I've just been telling you for 6 months. But the fact is, we used the service, we got out of debt, and the Lord provided, because she thought for sure I wasn't going to make it. Thought for sure. But I believed, and I prayed. Oh my, did I pray. So how do you start giving? Give small. Start small. Just like it said in Corinthians, purpose in your heart. Okay? If it's only $5, it's only $5. I know some of us don't want to do with that without that Starbucks coffee. That's the only one I can think of. You know what's funny about that? We'll fuss over gas going up to $4 a gallon, but we'll pay $4 for a little teeny cup of coffee without hesitation. So don't fuss about that gasoline price. If you're buying that little cup of coffee for $4, that's one of Erin's favorite things, I believe. She likes stopping at Starbucks. The other thing about Starbucks, they give these things called pup cups. Y'all know what a pup cup is? So if you got dogs, which we do, too many of them. Anyway, they give. And I didn't think you were supposed to give dairy to dogs. But anyway, they give these whipped cream toppings in a cup. And boy, these dogs that we have, they love them. And they lap them up like crazy, and they make such a mess. But that's a routine that Erin has, and she likes her Starbucks and whatnot. But start small. If you can do without Starbucks for one day, that might be an amount that you could put aside. Purpose in your heart, put aside, and save it to give. Okay? The next question would be, where to give? Well, that's up to you. I know some would argue that you should give all your money to the church. I would say no to that. Lord help me, I don't want to be churched for that. But back in those days, money was set aside to help individuals. They also did a collection for saints. Okay? They had famine back then, they had pestilence back then, and they sometimes had no means to eat, so they would collect. Paul talks about it in Corinthians, Galatians, and I think even Philippians. They would support Paul. Now, should you support your church? Absolutely. Your church needs to function. It cannot function. Everything functions, by the way, due to money. That's why we take up an offering. If I had my druthers, I wouldn't want to take up an offering. I would just rather people give. Okay? Let them give as the Lord leads them. But the thing is, start small and choose a cause in where you need to give or want to give. And remember, You can't do it begrudgingly. You can't do it out of necessity. You got to be a cheerful giver. I have, and I won't tell you which ones, but I have a couple of charities that I like to give to. Sometimes they're only like once a year campaigns, but anyway, I like to give to certain places. You may have other places, but set aside something. Set aside something. Folks, I can't tell you how many times, Deronda can corroborate, I've actually gone home without stopping to get a meal at night. Usually on weekends we do, but sometimes we don't. And I go home and I eat a bowl of cereal. Guess what? I'm happy. Not only am I getting nourished, but I've saved money. I've saved money. So then the thing is, when do you give? Well, when you feel like you've accumulated a certain amount, and sometimes it's only $10 or $15, you know? If you've accumulated that, and you feel that, hey, this, I'm sorry, I forgot her name already, the young lady with the cancer.
Alexia,
yes. She most likely has some kind of a fundraiser page or something that's a great cause to give. And so that's a place you can start. But the whole idea is, one, you don't want to bring attention to yourself. Don't bring attention to yourself. Hypocrites do that. Do it in secret. And sometimes it has to be sacrificially. Sometimes you may have to do without something, that Starbucks coffee or that fast food meal. Maybe that one time. Gosh, one meal these days costs anywhere from $9 to $12. Goodness. I mean, I had sticker shock one time when I went to pay for the whole family. I don't know what got into me, but something happened to me, and I said, hey, you guys don't have to cook, and I'll just buy your meal. Well, when the bill came due, I'm surprised I didn't get sent a bill, but boy, it costs over 50 to 60 some dollars just for one meal at a fast food joint, multiple fast food joints. But the fact is, start small, give secretly, and figure out where you want to give. Yes, please, support your local church. It needs money to survive. But at the same time, I think monies should be set aside for different causes. I hope all this has made sense to you. We'll continue this series next week, and I'm going to close out the CD, but if anybody wants prayer, I will be so glad to pray for anyone. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for these nuggets of truth that you give us, Lord, that we can learn how to give and do it correctly and not as the hypocrites do. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless us in our giving, not so that we can make money, but so that we could give even more, that we can abound in every good work. And so, Lord, we put all of this in your hands, and we ask in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, amen.